Let me just first say that I appreciate the pastor inviting us up to come, and we sure have enjoyed the fellowship. I tell you, we don't have a lot close by to us, so I guess it's about the same with y'all, except for Cornerstone. And we really enjoy the chance we have to fellowship with other believers. And so I won't be long tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I enjoyed the previous message, and thank you, dear brother, for cutting the cloud of tension, at least for me, and breaking the ice there for us. And I'm glad I'm saved. I can say that, and say that with a sure heart. I rejoice in knowing. I've got to say this, that I feel that growing up in church and being a religious young man, I look at the way the Lord addressed the religious crowd through the Scriptures. And those seem to be somewhat the most wicked. And I felt like I might be in that classification before I got saved, trying to establish my own righteousness, trying to do win the Lord over by my works. But you see, that's totally opposite of what the gospel is all about. And I'm thank God one day I was sitting in a little church about third row back in Bogart, Georgia, and the preacher got up. He had a chalk drawing. They did the chalk drawing. We were kids. And that's the first time it clicked with me, the gospel, that Jesus died for my sins. And by faith, I put my trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary, as the other brother just said. And that day, I got gloriously saved. That's all there is to it. Believing that Jesus, who was God in the flesh, He died for your sins. He took upon Himself the sin of the world, and He gave Himself for you. How precious, how wonderful is that? Tonight. So if you don't know that, I pray you put your faith in what Christ did for you at the cross of Calvary. Let's look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. A very familiar passage of Scripture probably for most of you, most of us in this room tonight. I seem to have noticed as we got acquainted with more grace believers that we see this verse posted up on a lot of billboards or a lot of their tracks or displays. We see 2 Timothy 2:15, and it's no wonder. I don't have the only one syndrome tonight, but may I say that I believe a group of believers that hold that verse to be something special, which all the verses of the Bible are special, but to have that verse stick out, it shows us that who is really rightly dividing the word of truth? Who really cares about what God thinks in this dispensation? Who really cares? And I found out that grace believers, the reason I think that so many of them go to this verse is because it is a pinnacle, a point that shows us of what we're all really about in its right division. It's the understanding of God's Word, how God deals with man. And I want us to read that tonight with the help of the Lord. I'll preach just a few minutes tonight. And so you look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Verse 16, he says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be gathered together again in this place. Thank you for the saints. Thank you for the encouragement. God, thank you for the message that we've heard already. And I pray you let the Word of God dwell richly in our hearts tonight. Lord, let us open the Scriptures. Give us understanding, I pray. And Lord, let us speak the truth in love, I pray. And God, that your name might be magnified and glorified, that Jesus Christ may have preeminence in this place. And Lord, we love you and thank you for what you did at Calvary. In Christ's name, amen and amen. I'll read it again. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God." I want you to notice the middle part of verse number 15 tonight. The Bible says, "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed." A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. If there's anything I think in our church, or may I say the church, the body of Christ, that needs or it needs to realize is believing throughout time what men have preached, what men have taught, is for the believers to pick up this book that God has promised and preserved. And listen, we have the perfect Word of God tonight in your lap. If you've got you a King James Bible, you have God's Word preserved.
perfectly, my friend, inerrant, infallible in the King James Bible. And when we open the Word of God, I believe we're missing this very thing in our churches today. Workmen of the Scriptures. Workmen of the Scriptures. I want to preach from that verse where he says, a workman that needeth not to be shamed. I want to preach on this thought, the unashamed workman. The unashamed workman. There's no doubt men's philosophies through time have and ideas toward the Scripture has influenced the church, and many have followed many men throughout time in history, even through the Dark Ages. I used to be a Baptist preacher, and I used to teach Baptist history, Baptist distinctives, and all the so-called history that we had, and we would teach that, and I used to teach that once you're saved, you became part of the family of God, to be part of the church, so you had to be baptized, water baptized. And you were always saved. How foolish is that? How crazy that sounds maybe to some of you. But let me show you the influence that man has. Men have gotten away from being workmen in the Scriptures. Men have gotten away to say, and women have gotten away to say, what does God say about this? Not what a seminary says. Not even what a preacher says, but what does the Word of God say? And tonight I want you to think. I believe there's some areas that we could recognize. We need some men and women that will be unashamed and stand for God's Word right here tonight. You young people coming up, you're going to be influenced by ideas of religion, especially in these colleges. These areas of influence that teach false doctrine, you're going to have to be prepared. When the JWs come knocking on your door, you're going to have an answer. Right? Or is it more of the Mormon around in this area? I don't know. But either way, you've got to have an answer for men. If we don't know the Scriptures, and what we need is people that will work and labor in the Scriptures. Those of you that know that you're saved, that you love the Lord, you know you're sealed, the Bible said, with that Holy Spirit of promise. As the brother just sang about, under that glorious day of redemption, you've got a hope, my friend, the world doesn't have. And tonight I want to show you some things. Look what it says in verse number 15. The responsibility, this is not just the responsibility for Brother Timothy. This is a responsibility for every member of the body of Christ. You remember that. This is your responsibility to study the Scripture. Amen. Study the Scripture. And isn't it something that God allowed Paul to pen this later in his epistles? It's one of those later things that you need the importance that is put on studying the Scripture here. Look what he says: study to show thyself approved unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. When you study the Scriptures, I remember before I got saved, man, I'd lay on my bed in the middle of the daytime when my folks weren't around. Lay on the bed and look at a picture that I supposed or thought that was who Jesus was, you know, the one Michelangelo painted. And the one I looked up and I said, I wish to God that I could know who that God is. And I used to cry and beg God to show mercy on me, wanted to know who He was and what He was about and what He did. And my friend, God, I tell you what, by the grace of God, that day, that evening, I came in and I got to meet the one, listen, that was beyond the picture on the wall. It was the one that was written in the Scriptures, my friend, and I was saved by God's grace, completely trusting in what He said. And it was not what I heard in a story, but what I heard from God's Word. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And after I got saved, listen, didn't start picking up the Scriptures and studying it. Wasn't admonished to study the Scripture. And it got a little dust on it. And it sat in a place. But listen, it's like this. A good brother said it. Listen, there's soldiers out there fighting a fight. And some of them are fighting for this country. But listen, we are in a warfare that is even greater, my friend. We are in the good fight that Paul said we must all fight, the good fight of faith. And taking that sword, Hebrews 4:12, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And a soldier never goes to war without a sword. And we need to know how to use our sword. Look what he says, study to show thyself approved unto God. Study the scriptures. Used to lay up, I'd hear a man say this concerning this subject in the Word of God, and hear another one that said he would say this about the Word of God. And I began to think to myself, I need to find out what God says. Used to stay up, not talking to brag, lift up myself at all. I'm talking about the desperation for needing knowledge. Stay up 3 and 4 hours every night till I got an answer. I got to find out what God is saying to me. The God that loved me. I mean, I knew that from the Scripture. That God gave His Son for me. I need to find out what He's got for me. Now that I'm saved. And you may be just settled for saved, but let me tell you, there's so much more. We are in the greatest family on earth. Praise God. Listen, old brother, I come in with a tie on, and I may take it off tomorrow night just to fit in, right? And listen. And listen, he said, hey, I went like this to shake his hand. He said, you're a lawyer or a politician. I don't know. You know, he was joking. And may I say this? My authority comes from a higher person than politics, sir. My friend, listen, I am an ambassador for Christ by the grace of God. I get to serve the one, my friend, who is over and in charge, who can, he's one day he's coming back to this earth, and he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And he is the Prince of Peace and the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the God I serve. I'm an ambassador. I represent, listen, a faraway country that's far better than this. And the message is important to understand. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Used to labor in the Word. We need workmen that study the Scripture. Look what it says. Approved unto God. I remember after God started preaching, Brother Steve, I got around people that began to just follow men. Following men. And if they had been used by God in some way or seen some people saved in their ministry, then must be everything they say has got to somewhat be right to some extent. If God's using them, but then I found out that everybody's kind of contradicting themselves. And you know what I mean? And I had to settle for myself and say, what does the Scripture say? Compare. And when you do this, you open your Bible. I'm not trying to teach a lot, but let me show you something. You open your Bible, you find out who God is speaking to. Who is speaking and who are they speaking to? And if you don't do that, you are going to be contradicting yourself. And it's like this. It's like, you know, if you don't understand the message, and this is what this church has been, a pinnacle of truth. It's been a place of truth, a source of truth. I got on the internet. And it opened my eyes to truth. And the gospel of the grace of God. The pastor, Brother Atwood, preached on the gospel of the grace of God. Listened to a message online. I said, my God, I haven't heard it that clean and clear in years. And I thought to myself, this is the message of purity of the gospel of the grace of God. Straight out of the Word of God. How we ought to get back to studying the Scriptures. You say, Brother Ryan, it's just got to do with the law. It's got to do with what God's doing but now, what He did in times past, and what He's going to do in ages to come. No, my friend, it's more than that. It has to do with the importance of what we believe concerning salvation. Huh? I was talking to a dear brother the other day on the phone, and the movement I was a part of began to teach Lordship salvation. And some of them started tracking back towards Calvinism. If you don't know what that is, it's just a movement started by a man named John Calvin. And most of you may be familiar with tulip theology, how some are predestinated to heaven and some hell, the unconditional election of God, limited atonement, irresistible grace, the perseverance. So you have all those points there. And I noticed that the movement I was in is moving back towards those old views and thoughts. And I wondered, it's if you don't understand how to study the Scriptures and rightly divide the Word of Truth, then you're either going to have to not take the Bible as literal, and you're going to have to come up with your own inventions of ideas to make the rest of the Word of God fit. And what you'll do is you'll end up not taking the Word of God literal. But if you say, I want to take the Word of God literal and believe what God said, and when He uses words as and He uses words that describe and take it literal, if you don't do that, there's no telling what you'll end up preaching in a few years. And my friend, it takes the studying of the Scriptures. We need unashamed workmen that aren't afraid to pick up the Bible and say, I'm not afraid, I know that God is in me and that I'm in Christ, and read the Scripture and study the Word of God. Look what he says. He says, approved unto God. No pats on the back. No diplomas hanging up in the room can encourage this. Huh? No paycheck to influence your decision, but to say, Lord, I want what you said. And I'll honor that. Listen, I kill bugs for a living. Hey, I am paid to execute. I'm paid to kill on a daily basis. And you know how you I'm trying to help people see the mystery, you know. And I was in a lady's house the other day. And she had a shirt on. It had the crown of thorns on. It had John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. She had that on a shirt. And I said, you know, man, that's a window of fellowship right there. I said, ma'am, I said, I like your shirt. And she said, oh, this? I said, yeah, I like your shirt. I said, Jesus said, I am the way. I said, He's not a way, He's the way. Amen. And she said, you spray around that fireplace real good? Close the door on that pretty quick. And what I'm saying is, it's not always easy to talk about the Scripture. It's not always easy to discuss this thing. But listen, we in our study need to be prepared how to deal with people concerning the Word of God. One brother Tony said, you better, these easy believers is what he called them. Easy. I said, you better believe it's easy to believe. And it's so easy. Got folks in my community that think it's too easy and don't want to do it the way God says it, and they'll go to hell to talk. Sadly. Got a lady I counsel with, precious young lady, lost her child. Very, very hard situation. Lost her child and had the child for only 4 weeks and lost that child in her bed. And listen, I preached to that lady with love and with the gospel over and over. Her husband saved. And I give her the gospel. I told her how easy it was to be saved. And she still could not believe that it was that easy. The simplicity in Christ. She could not understand that. She could understand it. She just did not want to accept it. All the messages she heard growing up. You've got to be willing to give up this. If we had to be willing to think about all sin to give up to get saved, I'd have a rap sheet all the way from the door back, and I couldn't even tell you if it was right or not. Let me tell you something. There's nobody that's able to do it, first of all. You couldn't think of all the sin you committed, my friend, if you're any close to as wicked and as devilish as I was. And my friend, listen, that's why it takes what Jesus did on the cross, His righteousness is imputed unto us so that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Ephesians 2:89, He said, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Listen, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. That's the same gift. In Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A gift is not to be paid for or earned, but to be received. To be received. And my friend, how we've gotten away. You see the importance of being a workman for the Scripture. Look what it says. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ and look back and be able to say, I could have done more. I could have known more. I could have had a closer walk with Thee, O Lord. And I don't want to stand before man and be ashamed, not be able to stand up for my Lord. because I didn't take the time to study the Scripture. I don't want to stand before them like that. I don't want them to tell me, because I didn't have an answer from the Scripture, that they're going to go their way. Listen, there is a way, Proverbs said, that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. And my friend, I want to give them the way that John 14:6, that Jesus is the only way. What He did on the cross was the only thing that can save them. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. I've been dealing with people and trying to show some of the community right division. Understanding that God has dealt with man differently throughout time. And in doing so, I find a lot of opposition. I know some of you have too. And this message may not be geared to those that are unbelievers towards this end, but let me tell you something. We as believers, we ought to know how to rightly divide. We ought to know what is to us and for us. And may I say, right division, listen, it goes, like I said, it goes further than understanding basic doctrine, but it goes into even greater detail and more importance of how God is dealing man to be saved. And this issue caught some of our members up with baptism. What baptism? And I started telling them, don't use Acts. You can use Acts, but don't use Acts to prove your point. Listen. This is why the body of Christ is so messed up and in a sense of disunity, my friend. Look with me in Ephesians 4:5. Look with me in verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This has still got to do with keeping the bond of peace and unity in the body of Christ. Verse number 4. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And if I stood up, and the brethren don't, if I stood up and I preached two faiths, man, I'm a heretic. And you would be. Friend, if you taught there was two ways, and Jesus said there's one way, let me tell you something, you're wrong. There's one gospel Paul preached that we are preaching right now, and that is the gospel of the grace of God. How that Christ died, was buried, and He rose again, according to the Scripture. And when we, my friend, we see that God is using that message, that is the good news that we are preaching to people that they might be saved. And then look what the Bible says. One faith. One Lord, one faith. If I was preaching to you two Lords, you'd say He needs to step down. If I got up here and told you there were two Lords, listen, there are two gods. Then look, it says one baptism. And they're preaching two. And we wonder why there's no unity. And ever since man that claimed to know God, listen, ever since denominationalism has built itself up, it's used baptism to push it forward. Water baptism. One baptism. If I preach two baptisms, these circles, man, I'm okay. We preach one baptism and we're the heretics. What's up with that, huh? That's what they say in Athens, Georgia. What's up with that? One baptism. And I'm convinced it's the same one in 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. Listen, the moment you and I got saved by God's wonderful grace, listen, Christ, the Spirit of God baptized us into Christ's body. Listen, we became the church of Christ, members in particular. And praise be unto God. Listen, it was because a preacher, though he neglected some other areas, that night off Malcolm Bridge Road, he opened up the Word of God and he showed me what Jesus did for my sins at the cross of Calvary. My friend, that day, or that evening, I was gloriously saved. Amen. And if He had told me, if He had said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for remission of sins. My friend, that would have not been the gospel of the grace of God. And I sure, my friend, probably be standing here in the same shape I was in before I got saved that night. And no doubt about it. So you say, an unashamed workman will be one that rightly divides the word of truth. They're not afraid. The people are going to call you names. You know, that crowd that followed Paul wasn't very popular. They weren't in great, great number. And you need to understand, listen, God doesn't have to have a majority. I believe it was over there in the old letters. He said that it's not good to follow a multitude to do evil. And the multitudes are falling in the wrong direction. But my friend, God had people set aside, and God used men, and whether they were small or great, if God gets the glory, then that's what the message is all about. That God receives glory and honor and praise because we preach the word of truth rightly divided. That's it. That's it. And so we see the characteristics of a workman. He's someone that studies the scripture. He gets his approval of God and not of men. He's a workman. He works the scriptures. Listen, he studies the scriptures, that needeth not to be ashamed. Listen, he's not ashamed of the stand he takes because he knows what God did for him and how great a sacrifice it was. And then rightly dividing the word of truth. He's able to discern. He sees that God used the Apostle Paul after he saved him by the grace of God. In Acts chapter 9 we see, and my friend, after that Damascus Road experience, he used him to reveal to him the mystery, my friend, that was hid before the foundation of the world. Romans 16:25. Listen, he used him and he began in him the salvation that me and you partake of this day. He began with him first. He said in Timothy, began in me first. And the program that when you look and you open your Bibles and you go Romans through Philemon, you find out that is not only God's Word for us, but it is God's Word to us. And it will, listen, you can feed and rest in the Scriptures without being shaken. And a good brother, when I first got into this thing, said this. He said, you know, if people could get right division, if churches could understand it, he said denominationalism would fold like a deck of cards. And how true that is. Pick it up and say, you know what? I'd rather be a workman and serve God. And I'd rather do right than have my name put out and blasted across the world and get all this recognition and have a big crowd. Listen, you might have a big crowd, but God be the glory for it. But listen, if it takes studying the Scripture and rightly dividing to suffer, listen, just a little, what we would call persecution. Right? Persecution. Man, may God get all the glory. May you get all the glory for it. And so we have unashamed workmen. I hope tonight when you leave that some of you, if there may be somebody in here, you may have come out of something else. And you had a friend invite you or family invite you. Let me challenge you to do something. Start thinking for yourself. If you're saved, you know you're saved. Pick the Bible up and do exactly what I asked you to do tonight. What God asks you to do. What He commands for us to do. And start looking for yourself to see what God says. And listen, you may not get a pat on the back. But listen, who's our approval of anymore? It's of God. It's under God. And so with that being said tonight, I won't take any more time. I just wanted to preach a little bit. And I'll close with this. He said in that next verse, he said, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And that's going to come with being a workman. That's going to come with standing for the truth of God's Word. The dear brother that I had a quarrel with, I, with much love, would think that he would understand my attitude towards him when he said this. He said,
What you're preaching is cheap grace. And may I say, I said to him, I hope
it didn't hurt him. But I said, listen, the grace of God was not cheap, my friend. Jesus Christ, who was without sin. I said, He suffered the agony of the cross. He was beaten and bruised and spat upon and blasphemed for you and I. And that grace is not cheap. It cost the Son of God His life that day. And my friend, it could never be cheap. He was a great price paid at Calvary for our sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid it all. And He paid it all in full.
Amen.
He did it all. Paul said in Acts 13, if you're justified from all things, but you could not be justified from the law of Moses. All things. And that's what the grace of God does, doesn't it, brother? Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Let's pray. Father, thank You for tonight. Thank You for these people that come to, Lord, study the Scripture tonight to hear the preaching of God's Word. I pray for that one that may be here, Lord, that's lost, God, that's not saved. I pray, oh Lord, that they would turn in their mind and see the salvation of the Lord and the simplicity in Christ Jesus. And Lord, the payment, the blood that He shed for their sin, they'd put their faith in the blood tonight. And Lord, You change them and save them by Your grace. And Lord, we give You the glory. Thank You for these men that stand for truth. Thank You for those that have been an encouragement to me and those that have been encouraged to Lamb's Way Bible Church. And I pray You'd bless the rest of this meeting. Lord, help us, Lord, to stay in unity and to rightly divide the word of truth. In Christ's name, amen and amen.
Thank You, preacher.
Believe that guy's going to make a preacher, isn't he? Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that very much. And as he mentioned, we've had some wonderful fellowship.